Today we are going to wrap up the series that we've been in, Everyday Missionaries Joining Jesus on His Mission. And although we're going to wrap up the series, we are going to continue to pursue this idea of being everyday missionaries, at least as long as I get to be the pastor here at Academy Christian. And it's already been so encouraging for me to see so many people who are putting the principles into practice and are joining Jesus on His mission and are sharing stories about how God is using them to point people in God's direction. And as we close this series today, there's one final principle that we really need to touch base on. And so as I think about that one final principle, it makes me say, like most pastors will say, that reminds me of a story. And my story takes me back to the summer of my junior year in high school, which, by the way, would have been 1979, almost 40 years ago. And I had an amazing opportunity in the late 70s to travel to Europe for 6 weeks and visit six different countries. We went to Germany, Austria, Italy, Greece, Hungary, and Yugoslavia. Now, two of those countries, if you think about it, Hungary and Yugoslavia, were behind the Iron Curtain and under communist control back then when the Cold War was still being waged. And so that was an interesting experience in and of itself, getting out of those countries. But what made this trip unique was that it included a homestay in three of those countries, in Germany, in Austria, and in Greece. And we were paired up with a family and spent a week in their home, getting to experience the culture up close and personal. And we had a lot of amazing experiences. I can't tell you about all of them now, but I remember one, for example. We just got in the first homestay in Germany, and the folks decided to take me for a drive up in the mountains in their car, and it felt like they were driving a little bit fast, but as I sat in the back seat, I'm looking at the speedometer, and it's reading 100, and I'm like, oh no, it's my first time. I'm going to die in the mountains here. And then I had to think about it a little bit, and later I realized that, of course, it's Germany, it's Europe, they're under the metric system, so it was 100 kilometers an hour, which is only about 60 miles an hour, and I felt a lot better after I finally figured that out. Well, for the homestays, they would drop us off on Sunday mornings and then pick us up on Friday, and basically during that time, we were on our own with the host family. And what I discovered is, even though we had some great experiences, got to learn so much, by Friday evening, everyone was ready to get back together with their, you know, American friends and back with our group and be able to share our stories, what happened to it, and talk about it with other people. Now, this program was called the People-to-People High School Ambassador Program, and that's why the homestays were a part of it. And the reason I share that story, the reason why I thought of it, was when I read this final chapter of the book that we've been reading by Greg Finke, Joining Jesus on Mission, I thought, you know what, that's something like how the church is intended to operate. See, we're supposed to go out each week as Christ's ambassadors and then gather during the week or at the end of the week to share stories and encourage each other. And so if you notice on the outline, the title for today's message is Mission with a Little Help from My Friends. If we're going to be everyday missionaries, we got to recognize we need some help from our friends. Now, to ingrain this into Jesus' mission, Jesus, I think, actually instituted what I would call Everyday Missionary University. And so when he was on this earth, he wanted to train and develop some people. And so he instituted what I would call Everyday Missionary University. One of the first things Jesus did when he began his public ministry was to recruit a group of individuals to join him on his mission. And then he begins to train them to become the very first everyday missionaries. And so as we carefully examine the first four books of the New Testament that record for us the life and ministry of Christ, we can easily, I think, begin to identify what were some of the key missionary practices that were a part of the core training at EMU, Everyday Missionary University. And so what were these key practices? Because maybe they'd be helpful for us. Well, the first key practice that we find is that it was they needed to spend time with Jesus. They were going to have to be with him and be around him. In fact, in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, it says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. And these guys were literally with Jesus. Often, many of them left behind what they were doing on a regular basis in order to spend full time with Jesus. And that experience changed them. And the change was evidence enough that the people that were around them or saw them could actually see it. Just a little while later, when we get to the book of Acts and persecution begins to break out, Peter and John are actually brought before the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the Jewish culture. And in Acts 4:13, notice what it says. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary people, just like us, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And so as he spent time with them, he instructed them. He also modeled his teaching so that then they could incorporate the second key missionary practice, and that was to go out on mission. They didn't just spend time with Jesus just to learn a lot more. He had a mission for them. And so you go back to Mark chapter 3, verse 14, and you finish the rest of that verse. It says, he appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. And he did almost right away. What's so amazing is that this happened early on in their training, when they definitely hadn't learned everything that they were going to need to know. They hadn't even become maybe even proficient in explaining their newfound faith. He sent them out on the mission. Now, there was a third key missionary practice, and that was that they often met to debrief and then support and encourage each other. See, when you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what I think you'll discover is you'll find these practices being repeated over and over again by Jesus. In fact, this morning, let's go ahead and just look at one example of this very pattern. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Luke chapter 9. It'll be up on the screen. We're going to start reading verses 1 through 6. We're going to take a little break because there's some verses that don't really apply, and then we'll jump back in to verse 10. And so here's what we find in Luke chapter 9. Verse 1, it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now imagine what that must have felt like, just being sent out kind of on their first missionary, everyday missionary journey. And then Jesus kind of really raises the bar. In verse 3, then he told them, take nothing for your journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, not even an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave. They didn't have Motel 6 and Super 8s back then. They just stayed in people's homes. And then he said, if people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus' instructions were pretty profound here. They were going to require these instructions, these disciples, to be totally dependent upon God. I mean, they were going to take no money, not even an extra shirt. Jesus also made it clear that not everyone was going to be receptive to their mission, to their message. He says, don't worry about it. Just move on to the next city or to the next village. And so we get to verse 6, and it says, so they set out and they went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now, I mentioned in verses 7 through 9, there's a brief discussion about King Herod that we don't need to get involved in. But notice we're going to circle around to the principles in verse 10. It says, when the apostles returned, they gave a debriefing. They reported to Jesus what they had done. They talked about how it went. And then it says, then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. And I think Jesus wanted to spend some more time talking about how it went. And I wonder how many side conversations went on as the disciples shared their experiences with one another. They probably said, man, you're not going to believe this. This happened in this city, and that happened in this city, and we got kicked out of this city. And what we discover is that that kind of became their rhythm. They would spend time with Jesus. Then they would go out on mission. Then they would meet to debrief and to support each other. And so I don't think it should come as any surprise that when Jesus went back to heaven, the early church actually replicated these practices. They said, hey, we probably should do the same. And so right away in the book of Acts, which details the history of the early church, that's exactly what these early believers did. They would spend time with Jesus, and I'll explain that in a moment, and then they would go out and serve as everyday missionaries, and then they would get together to share their stories and encourage each other and gain insights and inspiration for their next missionary adventure. You know how we know that that happened? Well, we go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and notice it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, you remember I said they spent time with Jesus? there really wasn't a way for them to spend time with Jesus because he had gone back into heaven. But they devoted themselves, that's why, to the apostles' teaching, because the apostles had spent time with Jesus. And so they started teaching these people the teachings of Jesus and telling them what Jesus had said and what he has taught so that they could begin to get a grasp on that. And then they would go out and serve as everyday missionaries, and then they would come back together. Now, what are we going to do? Because the apostles, I don't know if you know this, but none of them are around any longer. They are long gone. It's 2,000 years later. Well, fortunately, even though the apostles are long gone, we have four accounts of the life and teaching of Jesus preserved for us in the Bible. And that's one of the reasons why, as part of the study, I've been encouraging you to just start to work your way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one chapter a day. And I encourage you to start from the back, start with the Gospel of John, and then read Luke, and then Mark, and then Matthew. And just a chapter a day, and when you start to read it, just say, pray a simple prayer. Say, hey, Jesus, I'm here to spend some time with you today. Can you show me in your word what I need to do to help join you on your mission? Now, it probably is not going to happen every single day, but there's going to be a lot of days when Jesus will have something that he wants to show you about what you're actually experiencing in your life that'll be an amazing adventure. So just encourage you to do that. Well, that's what they were doing, devoted themselves to the apostle teaching, and then they would go out on mission, and then they would meet together to debrief and support each other. Because then we find in verses 44 and verse 46, it says, all the believers were together. They went out, but they always gathered, and they had everything in common. Now, these guys really took it to the next level. Every day, they said, we got to get together. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. And the reason they met together, because they knew they needed regular support and encouragement if they were going to continue to be everyday missionaries. And that brings me to what I think over the years has been kind of a common misconception that has developed in the church about the church. And it's not really a surprise to me because, as I've often said before, religion kind of appears to be the default mode of the human heart. If we don't act against it, we'll just get into kind of a religious mode. And so I say that because if we're not careful, we can begin to see our church services and our gatherings as a religious duty, something that we have to do in order to make God happy or to satisfy him. And when that happens, then going to church can actually become the focal point of our religious expressions. And it was never intended to be that way. Because see, our gathering is to be a means, not the end. The end is we're out, you know, being everyday missionaries. The means is we got a group of people with whom we can meet for encouragement and support. So our weekly gatherings are never intended to be about showing up so that you can please God and earn his approval. That's religion. And Jesus already took care of how we're going to get right with God. He handled that. And believers getting together is about supporting and encouraging each other so that we can live as everyday missionaries the rest of the week. You see, mission isn't carried out as you meet with other missionaries. That's just our kind of encouragement time. The mission is carried out in the places where you live and learn and work and play. And that's why we need to see our weekly gatherings every Sunday morning, such as worship services or connection groups, as a means rather than the end. And when that's true for you, I guarantee you, you won't want to miss. You won't want to say, oh, I have to go to that gathering. You'll say, oh, I get to go. See, the mission of the church is not simply to keep meeting. Sometimes everyone thinks, well, we got to have church every Sunday. Why? Because we've always had church every Sunday. And so we're going to keep meeting just to keep meeting. And until Jesus comes, we'll just keep meeting. The purpose of meeting every week is not so we can perpetuate these meetings. The mission of the church is to provide a support base for everyday missionaries, to help you, encourage you to be an everyday missionary. And that's why I would just say, understand this. When you and if you aren't living a missional life, participation in the church is going to feel optional for you. You'll get up and say, oh, I could go or I could stay. It won't even be a big deal if you're not living a missional life. But when you're striving to be an everyday missionary, participation in the church is going to say, I got to get there. I need to hear some stories. I need to share some stories. I need to learn some things. See, the gathering of everyday missionaries is absolutely critical to the success of the mission. That's why Jesus included it in his basic practices. And the reason that we gather is specifically to support each other as we seek to learn how to respond to what Jesus is doing in the lives of people around us. And so when we get together and we start asking each other how we've seen God at work in our lives, we're going to be much more intentional about looking for what God's been doing in our lives. And when we get together and we ask each other, hey, what's God or what's Jesus been teaching you in his word? We're going to be much more intentional about making sure we're getting into his word and listening. And we need each other because the key to staying intentional and inspired for long-term missional living is the hearing and telling of our stories. And that's oftentimes what was going on when these gatherings were getting together and people were talking about what was happening. That's why every week in this series, we've tried to provide somebody sharing their story and sharing their testimony. And so, of course, you know, today is no exception. And a week or two ago, Vicky came up to me after church and said, this has been so amazing because I see my responsibility and what I can do in such a different way. But you don't need to listen to me. You can let Vicky tell you her own story.
Being an everyday missionary meant to me kind of more of the same, being able to go out and talk to people and talk to them and have the right answer. It's always been kind of something I've heard, you know, be able to answer anyone when they have a question. Well, I can't remember the scripture or all the things I'm supposed to be able to say, and it kind of catches me off guard. So it was easier just not really to talk about my faith. So when I started reading the book, the very first chapter, I got very excited. I always thought I had to do it. But when it came to this idea of tagging along with Jesus, and I was not the one that was doing the work, and I didn't have to have all the answers, I felt like the world was being lifted off my shoulders. Instead of just go, it was as you go. And to me, that meant living my life. So Tom and I went out to eat after church a couple Sundays ago, and we were at the Egg and I. And so I noticed a group of young adults sitting around the table, and there were three guys and three gals. And all of a sudden, one of the gals got up, pushed the chair back, and ran into the bathroom. She looked like she was crying or about to cry. So I went in and she was just sobbing, sobbing, sobbing. And I said, oh, may I give you a hug? And she nodded. And so I gave her a hug and just held her for the longest time. And she just continued to sob. And then I just said, whispered in her ear, I said, you know there's a God who cares about you. And she kind of nodded. So I just prayed a simple prayer and said, Lord, you know what's going on here. And I hope that you will find her peace. She will find peace in you. You will be her comfort and her strength during this time. It was the best experience. And it wasn't hard because everybody can do it because it's so easy because you're not really doing it. That's the key to realize I'm not doing it. The Holy Spirit's doing it. I'm just meeting someone on their timeline. I was just being there for her, you know, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was going to do the work and comfort her. I have more of that feeling now to just talk to people freely without a fear of responsibility. I don't want this to end in any way ever.
And when we really understand what it means to be an everyday missionary, it is very freeing because we recognize, hey, it's Jesus' mission. We're just joining him on his mission. And so we want to keep sharing those stories. And so just a reminder on your welcome card in the back where you can write a prayer request if you want. We've also made that available if you want to share just a story, an everyday missionary story. In fact, just this last week, someone wrote this on the back of their welcome card. Went for a run, and while out, saw a neighbor also jogging. We ran the last mile home together since we live on the same street. And as we ran, she shared how her young teenage son was struggling with believing that God is real. And I was able to encourage her and pray for them. And just took a moment to help point some people in God's direction. So we're going to continue to do that and want to keep track of that. But we also want to begin to create a culture in our church of recognizing and sharing kingdom moments. And we want to start doing that as much as we can in our Connect groups. And so it's important there to share both what's working and not working. Because when we hear each other's stories about talking with people, one of the things we're going to recognize is how close we've been to a similar story. We're like, wow, that almost happened to me the other day. And then when we hear about other people's stories where they've struggled, we're going to realize that we're not the only ones who are struggling, and that's a normal part of the process, and that's okay. I'm pretty sure that's the reason why the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 said, hey, let your groups, when you get together, be an encouragement. He says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, Vicky said, I don't want this to end. And that's why I want to introduce something that I hope is going to become an integral part of our experience here at Academy Christian. And it's called a missional community. A missional community where we're getting together and we're working on this mission together as a community. Now, what is a missional community? It's simply a group of people who gather regularly in order to support each other as they learn to seek and recognize and respond to what Jesus is doing around them as he carries out his redemptive mission. And when you're a part of a missional community, it encourages you to continually incorporate those five missional practices of seeking the kingdom, hearing from Jesus, talking with people, doing good, and ministering through prayer. And one of the ways we challenge and encourage each other is by asking the right questions of each other. Came across a very interesting quote the other day from a guy by the name of Sam Keen. And here's what he says. He says, what shapes our lives are the questions we ask, refuse to ask, or never think to ask. And I often think, you know, we don't ask each other the right questions when we're at church. How you doing? How things going? And so one of the key components of the missional community are what we're going to call missional questions. And we've been bringing those up. We'll continue to provide those. But missional questions are questions like this. Hey, how's God messing with you right now? In fact, next Sunday, when we have that little greeting time on Sunday morning and you turn to the person next to you, don't say, hi, how's your day? Say, how's God messing with you today? And see what kind of a response you get. Maybe a blank look, I don't know. What's God been trying to have you pay attention to? Because, you know, he does want our attention and he probably has something he wants us to do. What's God inviting you to believe? What did you find out about God last week? Was he faithful? What did he do? What is God asking of you? How do you think you're going to respond? And then what do you want to ask you to ask us or us to ask you next week where you're growing and learning? And we're encouraging all of our current Connect groups, those adult Bible fellowships and life groups, to start to incorporate this missional component into their groups. And we also want to really just encourage new missional groups to start. So here's your takeaway for today. And the one thing I'd want you to take away from our message today is everybody needs to find some folks with whom you can regularly share your everyday missionary adventures. And even if you don't have a group, you know where you can start? Right in your own home. Husbands and wives and kids can start to be able to share these things. And I just want to mention, if you're interested in participating in a missional group, there's a clipboard that's out at the Connection Center where you can sign up to be a part of the group. We'll also have signups available the next couple of weeks, but that's going to be important. We've got to have a group where we can share those stories and encourage each other. Well, as we kind of finally bring things to the close, last week, if you remember, we experienced another horrific school shooting, this time at a high school in Florida. And one young man who was angry and frustrated with life took out his frustration by killing 17 innocent people and wounding a lot of others. And please don't think that I'm trying to provide a simplistic answer to this, because there aren't any simplistic answers, but it makes me wonder, if he'd had some different interactions, what could have happened? Because one recent school shooter actually stated, I wasn't wanted by anyone. And I think to myself, what if the shooter in Florida had had someone that was an everyday missionary to him, that had chosen to be an everyday missionary to him? And I wondered if it was would be something like the story in Greg's book that we've been reading through. And he shares that story later in the book about the minister's son who simply noticed and gave attention to an autistic classmate. And it made a huge difference. Greg writes about a pastor friend of his in Chicago who had been trying to reach out in friendship to one of his neighbors. And the neighbor knew that he was a pastor. And so he didn't want to have anything to do with him. That does happen sometimes to us pastors. Well, then one Saturday afternoon, the neighbor unexpectedly showed up at his back door and asked, can we talk? And the neighbor sat down at the kitchen table and began to tell the pastor what had happened the night before at an induction ceremony for the National Honor Society that he'd attended at the local high school. And during the ceremony, he heard a speech given by a young lady that was being inducted into the National Honor Society, and it was a special occasion because this young woman had autism, and so it was a challenge for her. And yet, in spite of her challenge, she qualified for the National Honor Society and had been invited to give a speech telling a little bit about her story. Well, it turned out that a good deal of her story revolved around this young man named Ben, who just happened to be the pastor's son and a student at the same high school. Ben was a senior and a big football player, big because he was a lineman. But every day when Ben went to school, he made it a point to come up to this autistic young lady, get her attention, smile, and just tell her good morning. And every day that's what he would do. And what Ben couldn't have realized was the hope of his simple act of goodness inspired this young lady. Every day, Ben's simple act of kindness was the only thing she had that could counteract a bucket full of unkind acts and insults that made life at the high school very, very hard for this young lady. And in her speech, she said that she often struggled in the morning just to summon the courage to be able to face another day at school. But because of Ben's simple act of goodness, she found the courage that she needed to face another day of classes. I don't think Ben had any idea. And that night, she wanted to thank Ben and let him know the difference that his goodness had made to her. And that act of goodness had inspired the neighbor to have a conversation with his pastor neighbor. See, God can use simple acts of goodness shown to an autistic lady to slip past a wall that this neighbor had built against faith and opened a door for a conversation and a friendship to begin between two neighbors. Because Ben decided that he could just be an everyday missionary. And you know what? That's what makes being an everyday missionary, I hope, so exciting. Because we never know. But God does. And so we just keep trusting him and just keep making a decision every chance I get. I'm going to point people in his direction. And what a difference it can make. Let's pray. Father, if we could just get a grasp of what a privilege it is to be able to join Jesus on his mission, but sometimes we are so overwhelmed by the thought, by the task, we're intimidated at the thought of not having the right information or knowing what to say, and we think it's about us changing people instead of letting you work in people's hearts. So I thank you for the freedom that joining you on your mission can give us, and I pray that it would empower all of us when we leave this place to be able to say, you know what, I can enter people's lives with the love of Christ and be an encouragement to them. I would pray that you'd use some of the people in this very room, especially some of these young people, to step into their schools and into their classrooms and to be able to look for people who could maybe just use a little bit of encouragement and help the rest of us, because those people, Father, are all around us. And we could maybe have an incredible impact on their lives if we could just get ourselves to recognize that we are invited to join you on your mission. I pray that we'd all be committed to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.